Dream we have in Jesus, amen. That's a different version of that with kind of a country tone, so very good. As we look at our scripture this morning, this is our last series of messages in Psalms 119. Next Sunday, being the Independence, 4th of July weekend, I'm looking right now into Exodus chapter 20. How many of you know what begins with Exodus chapter 20? What? Ten Commandments. Okay. I heard you whispering, but I couldn't hear your voice. Yes, the Ten Commandments. So, and it goes right along with the precepts and concepts of what we are established on in this nation and what the Hebrews was given back on Mount Sinai when Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights upon the mountain receiving the messages from God for the nation of Israel and for the world today. So we should always be reminded of our responsibilities to keep what God has commanded back when those were given. So hope and pray you pray with me about series. I see how long it lasts, those series, because there's a lot there just in the first four verses, 4, 5, and 6, or three verses there. I think that's what I'm going to work on, study for next week. But as we begin this morning, look with me at Psalms 119, verses 137 through 44. And the first verse, being 137, says, "Righteousness are you." And the psalmist is talking about God here. "O Lord, and upright are your judgments. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness." Now, I like this word, zeal. "My zeal," or my compassion, "has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. Your words is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it." We all love it, right? We all love God's word. In verse 141, I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies, there's that word again, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. How many of you need understanding of God's word? Well, we all do. And the psalmist says there, "so that I may live accordingly to your commandments and your righteousness." So when we think about what the psalmist is here is saying, he's saying the word of God reflects the character of God. Now, it didn't take you very long to, as you read through scripture, beginning with Genesis 1, you see the character of God. He is gracious and loving and patient. Aren't you glad God is patient with us? Yeah. I just don't pray for patience because he'll wear me out with them. But he is a patient God because he's gracious and loving in every kind. And last week I talked about that loving kindness, that hesed, that Hebrew word hesed meaning loving kindness, that from the very beginning of the creation of the Israelites and his establishment and work in their lives, they understood because he cared and he provided for them and brought them out of exile. So that loving kindness carried them through their life, and they never had forgotten that. So this passage this morning addresses the perfect righteousness of all the names of Yahweh and his word. So as we look at it this morning, it also expresses the struggles of you, yours and mine, are a seeker of God in reference to that righteousness that he provides. So this morning, we look at what the psalmist is saying to us, and he testifies of his own zeal, as the scripture says, and for his love of the word. So the more we read it, study it, meditate upon it, the more we love what God reveals to us and what he is, has in store for us as we live out our life for him. Because it's pure, the scripture says. It testifies and it purifies us. And that's what verses 139 through 41 tells us that the scripture does for us. So through our pursuit of God, and you think about that, through our pursuit, like David, he was a man after God's own heart, so he pursued God, even though he got off course occasionally, but he got back on track, and he pursued God with all of his heart, soul, and mind. And it will bring transformation in your life towards righteousness, and that's what we're all looking for. Working towards is that righteousness of God by abiding in his goodness, and that's in the righteousness of his God, word. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So first of all, as we look at the first part of this, verses 137 through verses 138, we're looking at the righteous word. The righteous word, and we know God is righteous. So in this, the word and the deeds of a righteous God is affirmed right here in verse 137. It's affirmed. Now, the fact that God's decisions or judgments are right, and they're great comfort to our souls, especially in our times of trouble. Any of you had any trouble this week? Huh? Yeah? It probably wasn't great trouble or bad trouble, but you struggle maybe in some areas of your life this week. It could have been physically, emotionally, or spiritual. But there are troubles sometimes in our lives. So when we are most afflicted, and that's what the psalmist is talking about. See, when I am most afflicted or afflicted, and cannot understand why, we may rest, he says, upon your goodness and your righteousness. Because he said, it is always right. Even though we're afflicted or troubled in our lives sometimes, God's righteousness will bring us through. It will get us through it. And through our pursuit of God, the seeker, the Christian, the ones who are pursuing God, we will always find him. Now, and it will bring us transformation. It will move us to that righteousness in our lives by abiding in his righteous word. God's word is righteous. So, now, as we look further into what the psalmist is saying here, his words and deeds are always good. Now, and his dealings with us are righteous and right. So it should be, or it should bring us comfort, and it should cause us to sing his praises for his glorious righteousness. That song kind of reminds me of that just a while ago, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. And we can always lean upon him, right? Leaning on the everlasting arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it brings us comfort to sing and praise him for his goodness. Now, when we look at verse 38, moving on to verse 138, there's a lot more of verse 137 I could share with you this morning. But looking at verse 138, which it affirms his word is marked by his justice and his faithfulness. It is affirmed. God's word affirms who we are. God affirms his promises and so forth. So all that God has testified in his word is right and truthful. So our character, we know the character of God is good and is holy and is righteousness. And then looking at our own character is that we are like God who has proclaimed us. Now, we are like God through the salvation that we receive through Jesus Christ makes us holy and upright. And as Paul says, we can have the mind of Christ, which if we have the mind of Christ, we think like God, right? And we conduct ourselves in a way, in a righteous manner, that he is pleasing. Now, it reminds me of everything that Christ ever did on this earth, and when he was baptized, and when he did went about doing good, the Heavenly Father, or when he was transformed on the Mount of Olives, and the Spirit of God came down and said, "This is my beloved Son, I am well pleased." And he told Peter to listen to him. So when we listen to the words of Jesus Christ as he speaks through the Gospels, and as we look and see what God is doing in our lives today, we know it's always good. Now, what mercy that we have a God who adequately, faithful, true to all details and indications of his promises, and his promises are true, and always prompt, they're always adequate in the right time. Think about that. So it is faithful and may be trusted in our future, in the future before us as it comes. Now, also, may we always risk all upon the word which is exceedingly faithful. We can risk everything upon God's word. We just have to remember to trust. When we don't even know the unknown, unexpected, there's always things that come about in our lives unexpectedly, right? And then even though we don't understand it, like the psalmist says, you know, even through my afflictions, you know, I still trust your word. Even though I don't like what I'm going through or what I'm experiencing, I still trust you, Lord. You're going to get me through this or bring me through it. And you're going to teach me. You're going to make me stronger. And the psalmist is saying that, and it's for our benefit as well, because your righteous word always stand. As Psalms 119:89 says, your word is settled in heaven long ago, even before we were born, even before the New Testament, because this is the Old Testament saying, your word was settled in heaven. Now, moving on to the purifying word. Did you know the word purifies us? Again, faith comes by hearing, we're hearing by the word of God. So by that, it purifies our lives. So looking in verse 139, it indicates that the psalmist was ignited by God's word. I mean, it already said in verse 137 that he had the zeal and the love for the word of God. So God's word is the purest, the noblest, and the most fire-pured matter in our lives, and it affirms. It affirms who we are. It affirms that we are Christians and we are like God. See, word is what I call a very pure, like most refined metals. Metals refine metals. And we refine one another through God's word. And God refines us through his word. Now, the Bible is God's holy, inspired, infallible word. You know, when I first, back years and years ago, when I started reading, and I realized how important it was to spend time in God's Word and meditate upon it. It didn't take me long to learn how holy God's Word is. And reading all the scriptures that the Word of God is inspired and it's infallible. You can read a lot of books in this world, but there's nothing more perfect and inspired than the Word of God, because it's from God Himself. From the very existence of time, God has always existed. He always will. There's no time and space with God, and the Bible testifies to that. So, therefore, we must guard it. Its message was integrity by what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are responsible for that as good stewards, right? We are created in good workmanship in order that we might rightly divide the word of truth. So now, as we look in verse 141, no matter how the world treated the psalmist, he said, I don't care how I'm treated, the world, my enemies, he would hold tight to the Word of God. And that's what you and I must do in this world. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, think about that, being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by Satan, the ruthless angel who fell from the kingdom of God, from heaven itself. It was perfect for him, yet he wanted to be like God. You know, the psalmist says, I hold true to your word. And although he is small, despised, the psalmist says, insignificant or rejected by man, he does not fail under pressure. He did not give in to it. So he knows that God's word is changing him, purifying him, so he will not forget God's precepts. So as we learn from God's word, we won't forget it. We'll always remember how God changed us in the past and how he is changing us now, in the present, and in the future. And like Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says that whatever he has begun with us from the time of salvation, he will continue that until he comes again. You read that. You memorize. That's a good one to memorize. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. So whatever he has begun in your life, he will continue that process of motivating you and teaching you and giving you understanding of his word until he comes again. That's a promise. That's a great promise for us to remember. Now, let's move on to the third part of this message, God's eternal word. So it's not only righteous word, purifying word, but it's the eternal word. Aren't you glad that you're part of the eternal part of what's going to take place in our lives one of these days? Just like Philippians 1:6 says that whatever he is doing in your life now, it will be continue on until eternity, and that includes him coming back again the second time. So in verse 142 reveals why he strives to remember God's word. So it's kind of a reminder. We don't forget, you know. We are reminded, and the psalmist says, I'm reminded to strive to remember the word of God. So God's righteousness, his word, is eternal. God's righteousness, his salvation and peace, they last forever. And that's good. There's not a lot of things that last forever on this earth, right? Whatever you buy, whatever you purchase, and it's got a 10-year warranty, sometimes it don't last 10 years, does it?
Nope.
Now, Dennis and I, and some of us, Shirley Pavey, we installed some smoke detectors back last year or so ago. Is it still working for you? Well, it's got a 10-year warranty, and we hope it lasts that long. But a lot of things in this world that we have warranties, whatever's written on a piece of paper don't mean a whole lot, does it? But whatever is written in the Word of God is eternity certified forever. Amen. So, I tell you this morning, pursue that which endures forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, the Bible says in Matthew 5:18. But what? God's word does what? It lasts forever. It kind of goes along with Psalms 119:89, right? It was settled long ago in heaven. Okay? So when everything else fails, what do? We can count on God's fulfilling word. And the Hebrew ideal of this, I'm talking about the Old Testament here in Psalms, the Hebrew ideal of truth is not merely that is right, but that which will hold up when we lean our weight upon it. And God's word is truth. John 17:17, the Son of God is truth. And that's John 14:6, right? And the Spirit of God is truth, 1 John 5:16. And what I'm saying here to all of this, these three phrases that come up from these scriptures, the Spirit of truth wrote the word of truth to reveal to you the Son of truth, the Son of God. Now, it has been said that the majority rules, right? Majority rules. And fair for election, mayors and representatives and presidents. And although it sometimes allows less than honorable people to get into office, it is a good system. Democracy that we have is a good system. But people go too far when they want to apply the principles of the majority rule to a moral standard. And that is what our psalmist is talking about this morning. Some things have where we are not up to vote. And we're getting close to independence. And that's why I wanted to just touch on what the psalmist is saying here this morning. If we are randomly tomorrow and 100% of the voters decided to repeal the law of gravity, you think about it. If we decide to repeal the law of gravity, guess what? It wouldn't change anything, right? No? Why? You still couldn't jump off of a building without being a what I would call a slam hit. Right? There's some things you can't change. The law of gravity is one. Those are the physical things that we understand. And you don't change anything in the Word of God because it will always stand. And even though our world tries to change a lot of things, but it doesn't measure up to God's standard, which God's standard will not change. So, God's Word not only consoles us in our trouble, it can delight us, according to 143. And that's why delight means fullness and deepening all other pleasures. Now, as a psalmist completes his meditation upon God's word, he proclaims the word eternal. He proclaims it eternal. That's why he relying upon it. That's why he was trusting the word of God apart from his enemies and his adversaries and all those who opposed him, because he still stood strong, and he believed he was not moving or changing his ways. So if we are to stand on it, God must open it to us, according to Luke 24. And as we receive and understand the Word of God, we live. You think about it. We live. And it is not the length of life, but the depth of life that really counts. Not the length. It's the depth. It's what we invest in God's Word. It's what God has invested in our lives through Jesus Christ shed blood upon Calvary, that we have life and can live it abundantly. Now, to look, or the depth of life, comes from laying hold of God's Word and obeying it. When I think about when Jesus lived 33 years on this earth, but the depth of his life altered the course of this world eternally. 33 years. And 3.5 years of that, he changed this world, turned it upside down. Now, you and I have lived upon this earth a lot longer than Christ did when he was here in the physical body. And what impact, or how much different is this world going to be because of our life and how we lived it and the impact that we made on it? We don't waver. We shouldn't waver what we believe. And so when we don't waver, and even the affliction that the psalmist is talking about that he went through because he stood strong in his belief on the Word of God, in his faith in Christ, in God, he stood strong. And we should too. Jesus lived a life that was pleasing to his Heavenly Father. Now, in conclusion here this morning, this passage is bound together by the theme of, from the very beginning, of righteousness. That should be our goal. That should be our focus in life. The character of God is righteousness, holiness, uprighteousness in all ways. A righteous God who reveals himself in truth is true to himself and to his covenant people. That would be us included. He will save them. He will save us, judge us. He'll bless us, and he'll give us peace. And he did, his people. And since God himself is eternal, his righteousness is eternal. Since God is eternal righteousness, his word is righteous and eternal as he is in verse 144. And then life comes in understanding and living out his word. That's what life is all about. And then life comes in connecting to the covenant-keeping God. And everything else other than that is fleeting away and is uncertain. But God's word is absolute, infallible. We can always trust it. And you can always make good decisions by trusting in God has placed it in your heart and mind upon your faith in God's word. That's how it all works. When we're faithful to him, he's faithful to us. Amen? He is. I've learned that, and I hold to it. Nothing changes about God. We must be transformed and changed to match his righteousness. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this series in Psalms 119. There's so much in these 176 verses of Psalms 119 for us to grasp and to understand our love for you and our love for your word. would draw us closer to you, and it'll help us to abide in you, to help us to continue to look up and hold fast to what you have given us through our salvation and through our personal relationship with you. And Lord, witness and testimonies, as the psalmist says, is to help others as well, even though they may not understand our commitment and the way that we conduct ourselves in relation to you. But Lord, we receive the blessing, and we can help others who are struggling or troubled in their lives, searching for something, for fulfillment, and Lord, they don't have to look any further than your word to find it, and help us to be the one to help them find it. We do have a friend in Jesus. We have a friend in you, our Father, and we just seek you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and teach us to be better stewards of your word. Help us to be a better stewards of serving you with all our heart, soul, and mind, which is the first and greatest commandment of all. And it helps us to get all the others in line as well. Whatever the decisions are that are within our hearts this morning, the Holy Spirit, you've already prompted. You already speak. You're already at work in each one of our lives here. We just pray that you will reveal to each one of us where we are, what we need to do, what changes we need to make, that you might transform us. And that is our reasonable service to you, to be your living sacrifices, your living servants. It's in your precious Son's, His name, we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our hymn of